This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit. Make your home among us and prepare us to come home to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today, in our gospel reading, we heard these words. Those who love me will keep my word. That's the NRSV. If you're familiar with the NIV translation, it says there, those who love me will obey my teaching. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now we can hear words of Jesus like this and think, okay, Jesus has told us what we need to do. What we need to do is to keep his word and to obey his word, and then the Father will love us and make his home among us. We can hear these words and think primarily about our action in response to Jesus' word. And indeed, obedience is part of what Jesus is talking about here, keeping his word. But if we leave it there, we have not hit the bullseye of this text. Jesus, in handing on these words to us, is not simply telling us what we have to do. He is assuring us that his word is spirit-filled, that when we receive his word, the Father makes his home among us. When the Father makes his home among us, we are prepared by God to come home to the Father. Now today in this sermon, we'll talk about what it means to keep Jesus' word. Three simple examples from our life here as a congregation today. First, we keep Jesus' word as we stand up to listen to the gospel being read. We keep Jesus' word as we confess our sins and receive the word of forgiveness in Jesus' name. We keep Jesus' word as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and receive the body and blood of Christ for our salvation. So let's think about this today. We keep Jesus' word, first of all, as we stand and listen to the gospel. Stand for and listen to the gospel. I think it's fair to say that we as a congregation, Bethlehem, do a lot of standing and sitting, right? If anyone comes into our congregation for the first time, they will notice this. They'll have to follow along with the custom of the congregation. It's part of what we do here. It's not just a custom, of course, in our congregation, a wider Christian custom as well, but it's something that we do. When the gospel is read out, we stand. Why do we stand? Why do we have this custom, which is not explicitly, of course, mandated in the scriptures? Why do we stand when we listen to the gospel? Well, part of it is a bodily confession, if you like, about what the word we are receiving is. We're about to hear the words of the Lord Jesus. These are not simply human words. We stand in respect, as we are able, of course, according to our health. We stand also in attention, listening to what our Lord will say to us. In our liturgy, we say, before we hear the words, "Glory to you, O Lord." This word glory is a big word in the scriptures. It's used when God is present. Think about the Christmas story. What do the angels proclaim when Christ is incarnate? Glory to God in the highest. Peace to his people on earth. Glory is proclaimed on earth because Christ is present. God is present. We stand, we proclaim glory because when we hear the words of Jesus, when we keep his word this way, we are hearing the spirit-filled words, the words of the Father himself. And we proclaim after we hear, "Praise to you, O Christ, your word and you, worthy of praise because of who you are and what you give us." We keep Jesus' word. Now, you could say this is obedience, right? because we come along to church on a Sunday, we keep the third commandment, remember God's special day, and keep it holy. You could say this is about what we do, our act of obedience, and it's part of a bigger picture, of course. But at the centre is the word we are receiving. It's Jesus' word, his spirit-filled word. As we receive his word, as we keep Jesus' word, we receive the Father. The Father makes his home among us and prepares us to come home to him. We also keep Jesus' word as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness. Listen to our reading today. Jesus said, "I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you." Now Jesus is sharing these words with his disciples the night before he dies. This is part of his teaching before he faces his death and then goes through death into the resurrected life. He talks about the Holy Spirit that will come, that will be sent by the Father. Now, if you are reading John's Gospel, when does Jesus then send the Holy Spirit? When does the Father do what Jesus says he will do, give the Advocate, the Encourager? He gives this on the evening of the day of his resurrection. Listen to these words from John chapter 20. You're familiar with them, you have heard them recently, but pay attention, because here we have being fulfilled in one way what Jesus was talking about. Jesus came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." There we have the linkage of peace. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." This repetition of peace, just as we had in today's reading. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In his resurrection, Jesus breathes on his disciples the Holy Spirit and gives them the freedom to proclaim, to enact, the forgiveness of sins here in this world. We do need forgiveness. It's part of who we are as God's people. In fact, if you go to 1 John, you hear these words. "If we say we have not sinned, we make a liar out of God, and his word is not in us." We keep Jesus' word, we obey Jesus' teaching, if you like, by agreeing with him that we are sinners, that we do need the gift of forgiveness. But our obedience is not the bullseye here. Our confession of sin is not yet at the centre of what is going on. At the centre is Jesus' spirit-filled word of forgiveness. We keep his word especially when we trust that in Christ we are forgiven. This is a word not simply of response to our obedience, but one that comes as we keep and hold on to Jesus' word. A word of peace, which is spirit-filled, so that we can stand and proclaim the goodness of God. As we receive this word of absolution and meditate on it and joyfully think about what God has done for us in Christ, our Father makes his home among us and prepares us to come home to him. This is what God does as we keep Jesus' word. We also keep Jesus' word as we celebrate and receive the Lord's Supper. Now, this reading from John 14 is the night before Jesus died. And we remember that one of the chief things that Jesus did on that night was institute the Lord's Supper, that he took bread, that he took wine, that he gave thanks. And then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," to make us partakers in a new covenant. If you like, he gave us this new command on that night, so that we may be partakers of a new covenant in his blood. Now, we keep Jesus' word here, you could say, in simple obedience, because this is in fact what we do. Just as Jesus commanded, we take bread, we take a cup of wine, we give thanks to God. This is what we do. It's our action, you could say, in obedience and response to Jesus' command. But if we think about the Lord's Supper only in that way, about what we've done, we have not hit the bullseye. We've not got to the centre of what God is doing among us. What do we receive through the Lord's Supper? The true body and blood of Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. This is gift of God to us. We keep Jesus' word as we listen, as we eat, as we drink. This Spirit-filled word of our Lord means that through this word, the Father comes to us and makes his home among us to prepare us to come home to him. This is sheer gift to us as God's people. Jesus hands on his word to us. Remember, he says these words, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus' word is the Spirit-filled word of the Father. It's the word of the one who laid down his life for us, who showed such love for us, the one who conquered death for us and now lives. As we keep his word, we receive the Spirit. As we keep his word, the Father makes his home among us. As we keep his word, God prepares us to bring us home. This is good news for us. It's good news because our salvation is not about our obedience primarily, but God's gracious love for us. Obedience is indeed part of the story, but not at the centre. Obedience, which leads us to receive the gifts which God gives. An obedience which only comes in response to God's promises in Christ. It's God's word that has power to save, because the one who speaks to us, our Lord Jesus Christ, is not dead but lives, and lives as our Saviour. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.